They don't have any of the other benefits on life. In terms of lifestyle, they look just like any sinner. They look just like any other person on earth. They may be going to heaven, but they don't have anything to show for it. That's how I felt about things when I was growing up, about spiritual things. I didn't know about 1 Timothy 4:8, which you're going to have to take notes if you want, because I don't have screens. So, I mean, I did, but obviously we don't now. 1 Timothy 4:8 says, godliness is profitable in this life and in the life to come. It says, for bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. It's not just about getting to heaven. Godliness simply means living for God, okay? The profit that godliness brings in this life, it's not just finances. There are a lot of other things. I didn't know that the Greek word for that's translated salvation, I didn't know that it included making you completely whole, physically, mentally. I didn't know it included a lot of other things. I thought the whole goal was just get people saved, get them to heaven when they die, and that's, you know, I didn't know you could expect anything else when you're living on earth. When I was growing up, we went to a Baptist church until I was about 9 years old, and then we started going to Cumberland Presbyterian Church. We went there until I was about 15. So when I was about 12 years old, at the Cumberland Presbyterian, they did call people up to pray and lay hands on them, but they always said, Lord, if it be your will. Of course, they also told us, you know, as a kid, you need to pray every day. So in my 12-year-old logic brain, how many of you like logic problems? I like logic problems. I mean, they give you like 5 sentences and you get to figure out like 20 different things out of it. So in my 12-year-old logic brain, I was like, all right, so they say we should pray every day. But they say when they pray that if it be God's will, but then they also say that if people don't get healed, that it must not have been God's will. So wait, what? So I thought, all right, I got this covered. So I'm supposed to pray every day. Every day, all I have to do is say, okay, Lord, I ask for everything to happen today to be your will. Oh, I thank you that everything happens today is your will. And then I'm set. Because that's pretty much the mentality that they had. I didn't realize that there was so much more, okay? I didn't know that James 5:16 says that the prayers of a righteous man or woman availeth much. How many of you use the term availeth much? You do? Okay. Nobody uses that term. So if you look in some other translations, that is translated powerful and effective. Now, I do use those words, okay, a powerful and effective. It says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man or woman is powerful and effective. So when I turned 19, that was the first time I'd ever heard of the Holy Spirit. So I grew up Baptist for part of it, but they never talked about the Holy Spirit that I remembered of. Like, they didn't say anything bad about him. I just kind of thought he was silent, which is funny because he's the most vocal one. But when I found out about the Holy Spirit, there were friends, you know, that I met that had it, but they didn't seem any different than me. And I was like, you know, I felt like I was in this little bitty room spiritually, and all of a sudden I found out there was a whole house attached to it that I didn't know. And, but at the time, oh, look at you. You're so sweet. All right, I'll turn this off. There. All right, but I felt like there was this whole house that I didn't know, you know, and I thought, well, you know what? Because I'm 19, that's a long time. You know, you feel really old when you're 19. And I thought, you know, I've lived this long. I guess God didn't want me to have any of that other stuff. He didn't want me to have the Holy Spirit. So I'm fine with it. And you know what? The people that I saw, they didn't seem any different than I did. I didn't see any difference in their lifestyles. I didn't see any difference in the power of God in them. So I was like, okay, whatever. So it was another year before I got filled with the Holy Spirit. And that was when I met some other people who did have a difference in their lives that I could see, oh, there's something different. I need this. I need something different. So it was like this whole world opened up to me. And I mean, it changed my life. I know I'd been saved when I was 7, and yes, that changed my life, but really when I got filled with the Holy Spirit, for me personally, that really changed my life. It opened up my world. And so I'm going to say something a lot of you may not like. I don't really like hymns. The air did not suck out of the room. All right, cool. I don't really like hymns because to me, it reminds me of the time before. Mm-hmm. And which is fine. I know a lot of people love hymns and they're beautiful. And if you read the words, a lot of them do have good words and they do have good meaning. But just to me, when I hear them, it reminds me of before. Mm-hmm. So no offense if you do. And
it's
no.
Okay. Some of us don't like them either.
Okay. Thank you, Jane. Thank you, Jane. All right. Well, when I got filled with the Holy Spirit, I had just started going to Cleveland Christian Fellowship. I had just met James. And like I said, I was 20 years old. And I learned more in my first year under Pastor Mark Strickland than I had in the entire 20 years of my life in church before. So today I want to talk to you about something that I'm calling ATM faith. Now, I thought of this years ago, but it's not a perfect analogy. So there are going to be holes in it, and you can fill those in and, you know, understand. So just take the good part and understand it's not a perfect analogy. But we're going to go with it anyway, and you can get something out of it. So suppose somebody sends you a letter. You get this letter in the mail, and it says, I put $1 million in a bank account for you, and it's got your name on it. Do with it what you want. You'd be thrilled, right?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
You'd be like, ooh, how do I get this? How do I get access to it? What can I do? Well, if you've accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior of your life, you have a bank account that is full of all the things that were included when Jesus died on the cross for you. It wasn't just a trip to heaven. There are a lot of other things that are included. So how do we take advantage of it? So, number one, as you can see on the screen, the first thing is you got to know it's in there. You're not going to go to the bank and try to get money out of the bank if you don't know it's in there, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right. So how do you know that? You read the word. You've got to read the word to see what's in there. If you didn't open up that letter and read that letter from that person that said they put the money in, you wouldn't go to the bank and try to get it. So if you don't read the word, you're not going to know what it says. Psalm 103, verses 1 through 5 says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. There are benefits to serving God. It says, and then it lists some of them. It says, he forgives all your iniquities, heals all your diseases, redeems your life from destruction, crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. How many of us need our youth renewed like the eagle? Every morning. Okay, Eric, you don't. I think you're about the only one. So, I want to name some things that make Christians look just like the world if you're not taking advantage of these things, if you're not taking these things that have been provided for you. Now, sometimes the things that have been provided, you may have to do something for them. But it's in the word, and God says, this is yours. You may have to do something to receive it, but this is yours. So one of the things is peace. How many of us need peace? Amen. Especially in all the chaos, all the stuff that's going on. John 14:27 says, peace I leave with you. This is Jesus talking. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. So it's not that you're all out in la-la land, oh, everything's just wonderful. It's not that kind of peace. Because it says, let not your heart be troubled. That means your heart could be troubled. So it's not just that everything's just wonderful, I'm floating on clouds. No, you have peace in the midst of all of that. And you can have that through the word. And second thing, health. We all know 1 Peter 2:24. Himself bore our sins on his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Right? We know that healing is ours. Now, there may be things that we need to do to receive it, but we know it's ours because it's in the word. Another thing, joy. Joy. How many of you want joy? Amen. Not happiness. There's a difference. There's a difference in happiness. Happiness is dictated to you by your circumstances. But joy, that comes no matter what. Now, John 15:11 says, I have told you these things that my joy and delight may be in you, and that your joy and gladness may be full, be a full measure and complete and overflowing. Now, this verse is right in the middle of Jesus talking about abiding in his love. Before and after it, he's talking about love. So when you've got the love of God, when you're sharing the love of God, that gives you joy. So don't just read verses, but read around them too. So joy, that's something that you can have. Prosperity, Philippians 4:19. And my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now, Paul was talking right before that. He says, because you sent that to me and you helped me with all that. And he's praying that God supplies all their needs. So sometimes there's something you need to do, but you can receive all of this. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Another thing, wisdom. How many of us need wisdom? Amen. Yeah, we all need wisdom. How many of you are, I just don't know what to do. Do you say that a lot? I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. Well, right here, James 1:5. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. So you don't have to go through life not knowing what to do. Maybe in yourself you don't know what to do, but you know somebody who does. You ever lose something? You're like, okay, I don't know where it is, but Lord, you know where it is. You're looking at it going, no, just keep going, honey. It's right over there. No, you can pray and God will help you. He will tell you where to look. He will tell you what you need to do. Another thing, boldness. How many of you need boldness? Yeah, we all need boldness. Proverbs 28:1, the wicked flee when no one pursues, but the righteous are bold as a lion. We don't have to be afraid of man. God is always with us.
Right.
We can talk to people. We can say, let him speak to through you. If he's laying on your heart, don't be like, it's okay. Just go talk to him. And trust that he'll give you what the words to say. Amen? When Andrew was about 4 years old, he suddenly decided he did not like stir-fry shrimp. He had liked it before that. He suddenly did not like it. So I was like, oh, no, no, no. We're not having that. If you already liked it, you're still liking it. You're eating it. We don't unlike stuff, okay? So we had stir-fry shrimp, and I made him put a bite in his mouth. Well, I found out you cannot physically force a child to swallow food. So he tucked that little bite of shrimp in there between his teeth and his jawline, and he just minded his own business, went around playing. I'm like, just swallow. Swallow the fish. He would not. Hour and a half later, he still had it. It had to be nasty. James was nice and let him throw it, spit it out. I would not have. But yeah, that was me. So anyway. Daddy says, you're welcome, Andrew. But the point is, you can't force somebody to swallow. God is not going to force you to read his word.
That's right.
But eating and reading the word, they're not going to do any good unless you get them inside of you. Like, you can have your Bible with you, you can hold it, you can carry it around. You've got it. But if you don't swallow, it's not going to do you any good. All right? So, first thing, you got to know what's in there. You've got to read the word. Second thing, you've got to have a debit card. You know what the debit card is? Believe the word. Faith is the debit card. You got to have faith. You've got to believe what you've read. We can't receive anything out of that account without a debit card. Now, here's the hole. Okay, I know you can use checks. I know you can go and write a little slip at the thing. But if you want to go to the store, you've got to have a debit card. All right. You've got to have faith. The Bible says that you can't receive anything from God without faith. Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. So not only are you not going to receive anything, you can't even please him without faith. It says, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now, the cool thing is, God said, here's this, and you have to have this to get it. You've got to have faith. But you know what? He didn't just say, all right, good luck. Good luck now. No. You know what he did? He gave us faith. He gave us the very thing that we had to have that was required. Romans 12:3 says, for I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. We've all been given a measure of faith. We couldn't have gotten saved without it. If he hadn't given us the faith, we could not have gotten saved. We got saved through by grace through faith, but we have to exercise our faith to make it grow stronger. As we read the word, our faith grows stronger. Romans 10:17 says, so faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Well, that requires maintaining your relationship with God. You know, I have a much easier time believing that a friend of mine or a relative of mine or somebody that I hang out with is going to give me $1 million and put it in a bank account for me than I do somebody that's a stranger. You know, so I don't believe a stranger is going to come up and walk, you know, on the street and say, oh, here. You know, if you got that letter in the mail and you didn't know the person, you'd be really skeptical, wouldn't you? You'd be like, all right, okay, is there a loan thing on here? What's the percentage I have to pay back? You know, have you gotten those checks that say $33,000 in your name and just all you have to do is cash? And you're like, yeah, right. And then you got to pay it back for 30% interest or whatever. So you'd be very skeptical. But if it's a family member that has unlimited means and you know them well, you hang out with them, you talk to them all the time, you have a relationship with them, you're going to have a lot easier time believing that they wanted to give you that $1 million. When we lived in Cleveland, we had neighbors on both sides. And our one neighbor, I had a friend come over and I was showing her what we did in the front, all the plants that we planted. And I had dug out the little edge and put little bricks to edge it, but we needed a little thing to dig it. So we borrowed from one of our neighbors, we borrowed an edger, and I'm like, oh yeah, this neighbor loaned it to us, and we got to do that. And so that helped a lot with some of the labor. And she's like, oh, that's cool. Well, as we were looking at it, she looks over and she saw our other neighbor was he had a tractor. He was mowing his grass, but it wasn't like a mower. It was a tractor with a mower deck on it. And we had about a half acre of land, so it wasn't a whole lot, but if you're using a push mower, that's a lot. And so so he's over there mowing his grass, and she looked over there and she goes, ooh, does he let you borrow that? And I said, no, he's not going to let us borrow that. That's my dad. He comes over and does it for me. Are you kidding? We have a different relationship with him. He was my father. He loved riding that mower, so he would, you know, he's going to go all over the place with it. He's like, hey, I'll come mow your grass, I'll come mow everybody's grass. He loved doing that. And he would, yeah. But one neighbor, I don't even remember their name, but, you know, they loaned us the little edger. The other neighbor, he was my dad. So if you know the person, if you've got a relationship with that person, and I'm talking about God here, when you've got a relationship with him, when you talk to him every day, when you're praising him, when you're reading his word, when you have fellowship with him every day, then it's a lot easier for you to have the faith to receive whatever it is he has for you.
Right.
If you're worrying, you're not believing. If you're worrying, you're not using your debit card. All right? So, remember the ATM analogy is a little, you know, it's shaky, but all right, so you got to know what's in there. So you read the word. You've got to have your debit card, so you've got to believe the word. Third thing is, you've got to have the PIN number. Like, Wesley, do you have a card on you? If you gave it to me right now, I would have it. And you say I could spend $100 out of it. Just say it. Just,
yeah.
Okay. I don't actually have it yet. But if he gave it to me and said I could spend it, well, it's not going to do me any good because I don't have the PIN number. You have to have the PIN number to go and, you know, to go to the store, to go to the ATM, right? So the PIN number is acting on the word. Faith is action, right? It's not just believing. It's also action. So, sorry, it's hard to see with the light. Thank you. I'm just saying, taking me a minute. So one of the things in action, you got to do what God's told you to do. If God tells you to do something and you don't do it, you're not going to get the benefit out of it. In Matthew 17:27, Jesus told Peter, they had some taxes that were due. And he said, all right, Peter, go to the sea, take the first fish you see. He's going to have money in his mouth. We'll pay the taxes with that. Peter could have been like, that fish has some slime on me. He's kind of gross. I don't want that one. I'm going to pick this other one instead. He wouldn't have gotten the money, would he? Because he didn't do what God told him to do. He didn't obey. He didn't take the right action. 1 Kings 17, you've heard the widow of Zarephath, I think is how you say it. Elijah, God told him, he said, hey, go to this town of Zarephath. I've got a widow there. She's going to take care of you. So he goes in. He says, hey, lady, she's out collecting sticks. And he says, hey, can I have some water? And, oh, while you're at it, make me a little cake. And she's like, oh, yeah, I can't do that. I just have enough. I was going to make this little thing for my son and me. That's why I'm collecting the sticks to cook it. And then we're going to die. That's all we got. We got nothing else. And what he said, all right, make one for me first. And God says, that you will not run out of the oil and you won't run out of the flour. See, he didn't just say, ooh, do it for me. And she's like, wait, what? He actually told her, no, if you'll do this, God will take care of you. And so she did, and she didn't run out. But if she hadn't obeyed, if she hadn't done what was told to her to do, she would have ate the last of it and they would have died. And we wouldn't have that story in the Bible because there would be no point. So I had a little empty space there. All right. John 21. The disciples had been fishing, and they caught nothing all night. And they knew what they were doing. These are fishermen. That's what they grew up doing. And Jesus said, hey, go throw that back out on the right side. And they're like, they could have said, we know what we're doing. We've been out here all night. We've been everywhere. There aren't. But they didn't. They threw the net out on the right side, and they couldn't bring in everything that they got because they obeyed. They took the right action. They did what God told them to do. Now, when William and Wesley and Thomas were little, we went to this church that had like a platform bleacher kind of things. And so we would have them, they would stand on it, and they loved to do trust falls. And how many of you do trust falls? Well, we did it a lot with the boys. We'd throw them up, and they weren't really scared of anything. So they would fall, and then we'd go, oh, do a higher one. And so they'd fall. We'd, you know, wait a little bit longer to catch them and just to get that little funny feeling in their stomach. But it was thrilling, and they trusted us. So, I mean, they did it, and they thought it was a blast. But the trick was they had to wait until we said go. If they did, if they went and we didn't tell them to go, they could have fallen and hurt themselves, right? They had to wait and do it when we said. We have to listen to God and do what he's saying. When Thomas was 2 years old, we went to the swimming pool, had a pool party. Of course, you know, mom's got all the stuff. And I don't know if I was holding his hand or if I was holding him and put him down. But I let go to put all the other stuff down. And he just like runs over and jumps in the water. I'm like, oh my goodness. I ran over and I pulled him out as fast as I could. And he's oblivious. He's like, whatever. Oh, that was fun. You know? Mom always catches me. Well, it could have been dangerous, right? If you jump and God didn't tell you to jump, then you could fall flat on your face. And I think a lot of people do that. They'll do something and then pray, God, please bless what I'm doing, instead of saying, God, what do you want me to do? Because if you follow what God's told you to do, his blessing's going to follow it. He's not going to tell you to do something that's going to hurt you. He's not going to tell you to do something that's going to make you fall flat on your face. He wants good things for you. So some people say, God hasn't spoken to me in a while. I had a relative that used to say that, you know, he's been really quiet. He hasn't talked to me lately. Well, a couple of things. Number one, the last time he told you to do something, did you do it? When Jonah was told to go to Nineveh, what did he do? He went the opposite way. Got in all kinds of mess. The fish vomited him up on the shore. And what's the next thing that happened? The very next verse, it says, God said, go to Nineveh. It's like, okay, I told you once. You know, you did your own little thing. So if you didn't do it, God still wants you to do whatever it is he told you to do. Second thing, maybe you did do what he told you to do. Maybe you're doing it now and you think, oh, he's just not. Well, you know, when you use a GPS, it doesn't keep telling you to go straight when you're on the same road. It doesn't say, all right, turn right in 88 miles. Or no, go straight for 88 miles. Go straight for 87 miles. Go straight for 87. You'd shoot that thing if it kept doing that, right? It's quiet until it wants you to do something different. So you may think that God's not speaking, but he is. He's always speaking to you in his word. But sometimes he's like, you're okay. That may be why you're not hearing do this, 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 because you're already doing what he's telling you to do. You're in the process of it. Anyway, we're talking about acting on the word. Another thing, your actions could just be your words that you're speaking. I don't know whether you said this or where I heard it, but somebody said, everything that you say, you should follow it with, and that's just the way I want it. Did you say that? Okay. Anyway, so think about the words that you're saying every day and follow it with, that's just the way I want it. So I want you to say that with me. Say, that's just the way I want it after I say these, okay? We never have enough money, and that's just the way I want it. I get sick every year at this time, and that's just the way I want it. Nobody likes me, and that's just the way I want it. I always lose things, and that's, see, y'all don't want to say this, do you? I'm so ugly. I'm so stupid. Nobody's saying it, right? So think about the words. Think about the words that are coming out of your mouth. And if you don't want to follow it with, and that's just the way I want it, then maybe you shouldn't be saying it, right? So describe yourself. The way you're describing yourself. If somebody were to take Photoshop and they were to alter your picture or your life according to your words, what would it look like? Would you look like Picasso? With? I think that's kind of what he did, right? But is it going to be a good picture? Is it going to look like what you think it should look like? Or is it going to look like death, look like every sinner out there in the world, right? So look at your words. Think about what you're saying, okay? You've read the words, so you know what's yours. You believe what you've read, so you have the debit card. You've acted on what you've read, so you put in the PIN number. There's just one thing left to do. Anybody know what that is? Receive. Yes, withdraw. Good. Don't leave your items in the bagging area. Don't leave your cash sticking out of the cash dispenser. You've got to take what's yours. I was at Walmart the other day in the little self-checkout, which I like doing the self-checkout. I know some people don't like it and they want to get paid for it, but I actually enjoy it. It's kind of fun. Brings me back to childhood when boys would go to the Memphis Children's Museum and they got to play in the Kroger store. Yeah, it's like the big kid. Someone over here does not understand that, but anyway, it's fun to me. So anyway, I was at the self-checkout, and when I went to put my stuff in the bag, there was something already in there. Somebody had left their stuff before. I don't know if they paid for it or not. I gave it to the lady. I said, I don't know if they paid for it. I don't know, but they left their stuff here. So, and how many times have you almost forgotten to take the cash out of the dispenser when it comes out? Because it's not, may not be something you do every time you go in. You forgot? Yeah, I've done it before.
$20, gave it away.
Oh, that was nice. He said he gave away $20 one time. So. All right. Mark 11, 22 through 24, it says, Jesus answered and said to them, we'll see if this will catch up. See, those are all those screens that you missed. He worked really hard putting these screens in. Aren't they cool? You can just go read them really fast. We're almost there. All right. There we are. Mark 11, 22 through 24 says, So Jesus answered and said to them, Have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, Be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. Sometimes we need a wake-up experience where we literally have to decide whether or not we're going to receive. When Andrew was 6 months old, I used to take the boys to visit grandparents. James was busy a lot, and so I would take him to visit my parents and his parents because they're all in East Tennessee. And so I had taken all of them, and I think my sister was in town at that time, so I was at my mom's and dad's. And mom made one of my favorite meals. And it was this roast beef stuff that she makes and gravy, which I need to get that recipe. So reminds me. Anyway, so she made that, and I didn't eat very much. My stomach just started not feeling really good. And so I didn't get to eat very much of it, and I ended up throwing up, and I started being feverish and just shaking, and it wasn't good. You know, I wasn't feeling well. And so I fell asleep on the couch, and then I ended up putting Andrew down for a nap upstairs. And so I was like, I'm going to go lay down with him up there. And so I guess about an hour later, I heard the door open, and somebody had come in and just, I guess, to check and see if we were okay. And then it closed. Well, that woke me up. That woke the baby up. They didn't know that. And the next thing I know, I hear him going out the front door downstairs, and I'm just like, oh, I was still feeling really, really bad and just weak and, you know, couldn't move hardly. And so I looked out the window, and I'm like, oh, man, everybody left. I saw him pulling out of the driveway, and I was like, of course, by that time, he's really stirring and starting, and it's like, oh, I got to pick him up, and I just didn't feel good. And so I had to make a decision. I had a six-month-old baby I had to take care of, and I was by myself. I didn't have any other, anything else that I could do. So I was like, all right, Lord, I need you right now. I need to receive my healing. You know, I should have done that earlier in the day, but I was like, ah, everybody's here. Y'all can help me out with the baby. I'm going to go lay down. But I had to make a choice. I had to decide whether I knew what God had provided, but I had to decide to receive it. And within 20 minutes, I was back to 100%, had no more problems the rest of the trip. But I had to make a decision. I had to receive it. right?
Right.
When I was pregnant with William and Wesley, a week before I went in the hospital with them, I developed a thing called Bell's palsy, and that's where I couldn't blink. I had to tape my eye shut. I couldn't smile. I couldn't move this whole side of my face. It just developed literally in one day. That morning I was fine, and by 3:30 that afternoon, I couldn't move this whole side of my face. And so I went to the doctor that day. I happened to have an appointment, and, you know, because I was so far along with twins, they couldn't do anything. They couldn't, you know, even if they could, they couldn't try to do anything. So after they were born, the doctor said, you know, sometimes a chiropractor helps. You might want to go to the chiropractor and just see. And I'm like, okay. So I went to a chiropractor, and he, you know, checked it out. He said, well, we might be able to do something. I don't know. Sometimes it works. Sometimes it doesn't. He said, in 6 to 8 weeks, if you come every week, we might see some progress, and it'll cost $1,200. It's like, okay. So it's like, boom. It kind of jarred me. It's like a wake-up call. What am I going to do? Do I believe God for the money? Because we didn't have $1,200. Our insurance wasn't going to cover any of it. So do I believe God for the money, or do I believe God for the healing? Well, even if I had the money, there's not a guarantee that it was going to work. So I was like, all right. He said 6 to 8 weeks, maybe. That's where I put my faith out. I wanted to believe that it would go away in a day. I honestly, my faith was not there for that. But I set it out for the 6 to 8 weeks, and by 8 weeks, my smile was completely back to normal. But I had to make a decision. Am I going to receive? Am I going to take what God has provided for me? Another experience, when James and I first met, he had just gone on a trip to the Philippines, and so I wanted to go on a mission trip, because all I heard about for a couple of years was mission trip. It was so wonderful. And I was like, I want to go on a mission trip. So Thomas was about a year old, and this gentleman came to our church and told us about going to Ukraine, not the Ukraine. There's a reason. There's a difference. They would go to prisons, and they would go into orphanages. Thank you. And just something jumped in my spirit. You need to go on this trip. And they said it was going to cost about $2,500. Of course, we didn't have $2,500. But it's like, that's fine. So I signed up. I want to go on this trip. And we had like five months before we were going to be going. And so got closer and closer. I still had nothing toward it. No money, nothing, not a dollar. And they people at church, they called and they said, hey, we have to get the airline tickets. We have to go ahead and order those and get those. So you have to make a decision. Are you still wanting to go on this trip? Because if you back out, you still have to pay the $900 for the airline tickets, even if you don't go. And I was like, okay. So they kind of, a little wake-up call. Am I going to believe for this or not? Am I going to receive this or not? And so I was like, yes, God told me to do this. I know he did. I'm going to do it. And by the time it was time to go, I had every bit of money that came in so that I was able to go. So it was just, sometimes you have to decide, are you going to receive what God has for you, or are you just going to leave it there, even though it's already been paid for? Are you going to tell Jesus that what he did was a waste of time because you're not going to reuse it? Because he did all of that for you. We have to receive what's ours. They say, how many of you have a gift card that you maybe in your wallet or in your purse that you have not used? Just about everybody. They say that the average adult has $116 of gift cards that they haven't used. Each year, $3 billion worth of gift cards are never used. Yeah. People aren't receiving the benefits that they have. I got to say, I've got more than 116 markers. We need to use one of those today. But we need to receive the benefits that God has provided for us, because when people see that our lives are different, they're going to want what we have. That's why I received the Holy Spirit. I didn't even desire it before. But when I saw the difference that it made in somebody's life, that made me want it. We need to be a good witness of God's love, his grace, his mercy. They need to look at us and say, there's something different about you. You know, you don't freak out when bad things happen. You've got this peace about you. You know, money was tight for you in that. But you, what did you do? What did you do that made you have what you needed? You know, we need to be an example of God's provision of everything he's got for us. Trust him. Trust his word. We need to maintain our fellowship with him, because he's always there for us. You know, your relationship's not going to change. He loves you no matter what. But do you have the fellowship? Do you spend time with him each day, worshiping, praising, praying, reading his word, listening? He's always with you. So are we on the... Okay. If you don't know Jesus, I don't know anybody here. Most of you, looks like you already do, but if anybody's watching online, if you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, I want to give you that opportunity. You might say, I don't have a relationship with him. I've never met him, made him Lord of my life. I don't know him. I don't have any of the benefits of salvation. If I died today, I would go to hell. So I want to change that. So if you want to know that you're going to heaven, and if somebody in here is not saved, this goes for you too, then I want you to know you can receive all the benefits that are mentioned in the Bible for every child of God. So if you want to turn your life around and serve him, let's close our eyes when we pray. Let's pray after me. Say, Jesus, I confess that I'm a sinner, and I can do nothing of myself. I repent of my sin. I ask you for your forgiveness. I accept your death as the penalty for my sin. Please cleanse me and make me your child. By faith, I receive you into my heart as the Son of God and a Savior and Lord of my life. Thank you for your love, your mercy, and your grace. Thank you for your salvation and everything that it includes. From now on, I will live for you all the days of my life. All right. If you prayed that prayer, let us know, because we've got a little book for you. Close your eyes. You know, Jesus is offering you all of this. Don't say no. I want you to close your eyes, and I want you to picture this.
Spear in sight, yet it